This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, it's Wednesday afternoon, it's 4 o'clock, and that means it's Brian Scalabrine time. And Brian Scalabrine from WEEI and NBC Sports Boston is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by FindMassMoney.gov. Brian Scalabrine, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing well. You can just call me Scal at this point, right? You went over. You called me Brian Scalabrine 8 times.
Okay.
That was fine.
Your mama gave you the name. I thought I'd be respectful. But I'll call you Scal.
She wants it's fine. I think people know me as Scal. It's fine.
Does your mother like that?
No, my mom, my wife, like there's just a few. Even my kids call me Scal now. But
really?
A few people call me Brian.
Okay. Well, Scal, the other night, I was as excited watching Celtics basketball as I've been in a while, optimistic. The way there was that little downturn in the second quarter, and then Missoula got a little upset, seemed like Tatum knew it. Tatum knew he was sort of in the crosshairs, came out, had that ridiculous third quarter in all aspects of his game, was shooting threes, mid-range, taking it to the rim. Was that a potential, I don't know, I've been using the word inflection point. Did Joe Missoula and Jason Tatum have a moment there maybe where Missoula pushed his buttons, he reacted well, and that could be good for the Celtics moving forward?
You know, it could be anything when it comes to those two or the team or Tatum. Tatum took full responsibility for how he played in the first quarter. And, you know, he's sleepwalking a little bit, but how about, you know, he woke up in the third. And, you know, I know it's like when you solve a problem of the past, you think that that's the solution moving forward. I'll give you an example. There probably was a point which we all probably sat there and said, why does Tatum take that step back shot? We want Tatum to move the ball, right?
Yes.
And, you know, he was an average passer at one point, maybe 3-4 years ago. He's an average passer. You know, the double team used to rock him a little bit. And even like beginning of this year, the Warrior hard trap kind of bothered him a little bit. He's not bothered by that anymore. So I had my wonderful people over at NBC Sports Boston do some research. I got some serious numbers that show, and I've been begging for this for the last 2 years. It's like, I want Tatum to be more aggressive. And I want him to be, and I know that like what people think is, well, we don't want him to be the old Tatum, folks. He's not the old Tatum anymore. Like, he handles coverages with ease now. He gets off the ball 25 different ways, pocket pass, hook pass, sees over the defense, quick pass, strings a big out, attacks a big when he evacuates. Like, he has every single read in the book now. So when his usage rate is, I think the number is 27%, but, like, we've only lost 2 games in the last 3 years. when his usage rate is 33%, I think we're undefeated at that point. So I want to see more Tatum. You know, I think when he has the ball in his hands, and because he's such a willing passer, I think that will like kind of benefit like our team. And I live like from this example, like I was never a star player, so I was a role player. But when the star player is bringing it, it like, gives you a boost of energy when you're a role player. So I think there's a lot to be said about that. He is a guy that can put a team on his back. And even if we're playing terribly, I think that he by himself, I'm not saying he should do it by himself, but him by himself can will you victories. And that's why, you know, like the guy is an all NBA type of player.
So, Scal, obviously it feels like if Tatum is taking this next step in his personal and professional evolution, this would be a beautiful thing for the Celtics. And it seems like Joe Mazzulla recently, in showing some tough love to Jason Tatum when he's underwhelming and underperforming, kind of almost shows me that he, too, is taking a next step in his coaching evolution. Do you feel like maybe things are like Mazzulla is pivoting for the betterment of Tatum and the team as well?
I think I couldn't answer that question because, like, you know, that's a touchy subject, right? Like, how, like, what is Joe doing? How is he doing it? What is their relationship based on? What meetings have they had? Like, you know, you're kind of bringing in like a sort of like a 30,000 foot view of coach player, but you know, I keep saying this, professional sports, like the difference between being in them and covering them, right? I think people that cover them think it's a drastic change. Like, it is such a small change that makes a massive difference. That's like when you're talking about the best of the best, you know, it's a subtle thing in film or a subtle conversation before shoot around could actually, like, can change an entire relationship. And it could, and the outcome could be different. But because professional sports are so hard, and the difference between like a team bringing it or a coach getting on a player or not is like a 20-point differential, we think like, oh, when they lose by 20, it's a disaster. And when we win by 10, oh, everything is smooth sailing. I think it's a lot closer than what people think, right? So that could be a certain interaction right now with certain players that are out. We got Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown who are out. So maybe Joe Mazzulla feels like he could push Tatum's buttons like a little bit differently in that game. But when you have Jaylen Brown and everyone healthy, I think you got to treat that game a little bit differently. So I think there's so much more nuance in just like Joe Mazzulla maturing as a coach and him going to Tatum and saying, now is the time I'm going to push you. It's a living organism that you have to kind of take day by day.
If Scal, it felt like, you know, in the Heat game, you know, they had that 7-0 run right before the end of the first half, and Mazzulla was upset that Tatum didn't execute the 2-for-1 the way he wanted.
Correct.
And then he didn't like maybe how he played some defense on a transition bucket before the half too. But and he was visibly upset. And clearly it was, you know, Tatum was the target. And Tatum responded in the, you know, in the third quarter. And it's, to me, that's got to give, I don't know, maybe Mazzulla's already proven himself. Maybe guys are fully bought in. Maybe he doesn't do that, get upset like that, you know, last year. But now that he's got a championship under his belt, do you see him maturing and do you see, like, Tatum responding to the coaching he gets from Mazzulla?
Yeah, so I've always seen that. With Joe and Tatum. He's like, the one thing about Tatum is he's not like I think on the people, like, I don't know if people got him wrong or anything like that. He always brings it. He always guards. He always rebounds. You know, like some days he doesn't, like in the past he didn't execute well on a pick and roll or he wasn't aggressive enough or he had, you know, like, why are you not being able to get downhill on this one? You can, like, argue that, but, like, Tatum is a star that, for the most part, like, brings it. So when you brought that up, right, that's why I think, Ted, that's why I think it's, like, on that particular day against that particular team, you know, Joe felt like he could push his buttons and it worked, right?
Yeah.
But you can't go to the well every single day, every single time. It just doesn't work like that. And I don't know, I really don't know how football is. But, like, you only have so many of those ace of spades that you can use. The question is, as a coach, are you using those aces of spades, or trump card, per se? I don't know if you can call it that anymore, the way people are. But
leave politics out of it.
Using that, Are you using that in the right time, right time, place, right? And then does it work? And a lot of coaches use their card and it doesn't work. But, you know, that particular night with that, you know, it helped Tatum respond. And he was amazing in the third. You see how emotional he was?
Yeah.
He was pounding his chest and doing all that. Like, that is the best version of Tatum. But that's where I think that people might have got – you can't just every day do that, go to the well every single day. You got to know when to use that based off of your relationship with Tatum, based off of all your interactions and where you're at right currently as we speak today.
All right, Scal, that was three very serious basketball questions with three very serious basketball answers. What are your thoughts on Megan Thee Stallion?
God, I love her, man. Well, you know, I saw her in Chicago, right? And I couldn't stop looking at her during the game, right? And the Bulls game was just all right, you know? But I'm telling you, she's stunning, stunning. Watching, it's like one of those, you know, when you meet people like I don't know if you've ever met like a president or whatever, like they just like, I never forget it because I was young, right? I met Michael Jordan or when I met Lute Olson at Arizona. It was as if they had like the light was brighter on those people and then everybody else. Like, I'm not saying it was dim and bright, but it was just a little bit bright, like they glowed, right? That's how, and I'm like, listen, dude, I've been a part of the NBA for a long time. I'd see my fair share of whatever, but Megan Thee Stallion had a certain glow about her. I just could not stop looking at her.
I get it, bro. I get exactly what Scal's saying.
So basically, if she's at the Garden, we can count on you not really paying attention to the game.
No, I'll do my job. I think it'll wear off. Hopefully it wears off and I can do my job, but like, you'll see, man. Just, I hope you get a chance to go. And like the way she carries herself, it's just, I think I can't believe this because I listen to her songs and are just like, all right, they're fine. But when you see her in person, she's stunning. And I hope everyone gets a chance to see it.
Okay, me too.
So you should start. I'm all in on the Torrey Craig side. I love it.
Scal, you should start going by Brian Scalabrine, the biggest Celtics fan. You got to put two E's on there. Just the, it's the Brian Scalabrine. All right, so we got an.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Absolutely. It's the Brian Scalabrine on WEEI Afternoons. And we have the All-Star break coming up, which will be a nice chance for Tatum to go out and do whatever the hell the All-Star game is now in its current iteration. But some nice and well-deserved rest for the season. Then, of course, they come back, and you got about a third of a season left to really get things right in House Missoula and with the Celtics and get ready for an awesome postseason. Who do you think is going to be, not named Jaylen Brown and not named Jason Tatum, who is going to be like the linchpin, the key player, the energy guy? Who's going to be the biggest difference maker as they look to heat up down the stretch in advance of the postseason?
Ooh, that's a tough question, man. I don't just throw these answers out there because, you know, you're getting towards the end of the season. Seeding is important. You know, like we feel like we're a better road team than we are a home team. So that could come into play. I think these guys have established, they think that they can beat everybody. So I don't know. Like, I know one guy, if you wanted me to stamp a guy, it'd be Peyton Pritchard. He's going to love this stretch where guys are sitting out. I think Peyton Pritchard's going to play like 35 minutes a night after the All-Star break. Those other guys will get rest. We'll continue to rest guys, I assume. We have some gaps there. But, you know, it's not an overwhelming place for us. And you know, and here's another one. Yeah, everyone's got to be playing their best ball. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what type of ball you're playing when you get a week off because you're not in the play-in. Like, I think the Celtics are going to navigate this little thing. I think you'll find, like, more bench players playing a lot more. I think Derek White has been, like, recently has made a nice little jump. But I would be lying to tell you if I thought one of the starters was going to take it to a new level during this time. I actually have my eye on the bench, and hopefully Torrey Craig plays and Megan Thee Stallion is in the building.
I'm with you on that, Scal. Quickly, just did you glean anything from, you know, two nice wins last week against Cleveland and the New York Knicks? I mean, do you take anything away from those games? I mean, there's something you learn in those games about the Celtics?
Yeah, that I was right. Tatum needs to be more aggressive. I've been asking for it. I send his agent all kinds of things I come across so I can get the message to him. If we're going to win a second championship, the guy that's going to take the biggest leap from last year to this year is Jason Tatum. So that's kind of what I take from that. When he needs to go to a new level, I get the look I see on people's faces is we can't stop this guy. And the look I see on coaches is we have to double team this guy. And he's been handling the double team great. So If you want to know what I think going, and every time we're going to have this call, you can keep asking the question. Jason Tatum will be the key to us repeating.
Okay, so coming off of that, we have Celtics, Spurs, Tatum, Wembanyama. And we brought it up earlier. We were playing radio. You do podcasts, so don't yell at me. This is what we do.
He's gonna yell at you.
4 hours
a
day.
I don't do podcasts.
Okay.
My show's a radio show, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we take callers and everybody have guests. Yeah.
Okay, so you throw ideas out there. You're just guys talking. Would you trade Jason Tatum for Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah, you have to.
Right, yeah! Let's go, Scal!
I mean, he's like, isn't he like 20 years old and 7'4"?
Yes!
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to do it, but luckily we don't have that problem. But I think, isn't he he's the future of the NBA. The guy like defends, he does everything. Mm. Like,
wow.
Yeah, you have to. Even though you don't want to, Tatum, where he's at and his number, the Victor where he's at with his number, like I think he's probably the number one guy in the NBA right now. I think everyone would trade for him.
All right, thank you. That's what I said.
Actual, an actual discussion? Did anybody actually say no?
Ted said no. Ted said no.
I said I'd seriously consider it.
Even Tatum will be like, yeah, you should probably trade for the younger player. Tatum would say that. You guys are crazy.
Before we let you go, we got to continue the tradition here. What should I expect tonight? Are the Celtics going to roll? The new look Spurs, a scary foe? How's this going to play out at all?
Are we a double digit? Are we double digit favorite?
Oh,
double
I
digit
actually...
favorite. Stay away from us.
Let me.
We can't be more than a double digit favorite. We have to be like 10 or 11 or 12, right?
Eight and a half.
Oh, 8.5. I got Celtics now. Well, you know what? I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I got no faith in the Celtics at home. I have no faith in them, especially against teams like the San Antonio Spurs. I don't know if they're going to win or not, and whatever, they've been better. I just, like, I watch and I'm like, man, I don't know what happens to us at home, but, you know, just right now, it's not a big game. We play the Spurs really well, but by the way, if you guys get a chance, I tell you, a future star in this league is Stephon Castle, UConn kid. Like, he's awesome. Go watch him play. He's got the right swag. I love his game, so... I'm not saying we're going to lose because we're the best team, but it's like when it comes to the C's at home, I quit trying to pick them.
All right, Scal, we're going to put a pin in that. We're going to revisit that on one of these future Wednesdays. Your lack of faith in this team at home.
Oh, jeez.
Hope there's no game sevens at home at the Garden where we got Scal.
No, he's right, though, man.
The big difference between regular season and double digit. We just look at the numbers. Look at regular season, double digit favorites. It's atrocious, to be honest with you. We never cover, and sometimes we lose those games. So that's like the kiss of death. Close games, big games, we're good. But these, like, double-figure spreads, I don't know, man. They're tough.
All right, Scal, appreciate you joining us, as you do each and every Wednesday. And hopefully you see Megan Thee Stallion sooner rather than later and fulfill your fantasies.
I hope so.
Thanks, Scal. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
See you,
Scal.
Good stuff.
How you like them apples?
Well, I was...
He's the expert.
Yeah.
He's the green teamer.
Yep.
Some people think he's the homer.
He was not expecting that.
He did not
What was
hesitate.
The bigger surprise,
he
though? The fact
hesitate.
That he would trade Tatum for Wembanyama, or the fact that he just flat out said, like, I don't trust the Celtics at home?
Or that he talked about Megan Thee Stallion the way... If I talked about a woman on the radio the way he did, my wife would not
way
be
to
happy.
Go,
I can
Scal.
Tell you that. I don't care who it is. If it was a supermodel, a rapper, anybody... Certainly not somebody that I'm in the same building with.
That's Beyonce had the same effect on me. She took my breath away when she gave me a what's up at the Super Bowl in 03.
Oh, that's right.
She
forgot your
right
what's up story from the TED Talk in 03.
I know exactly how he feels, man.
All right, Brian Scalabrine had a lot of interesting things to say. We'll come back. We'll react to some
good
of that because there was some interesting stuff there. Good stuff about Tatum and then some questionable stuff about this home road split thing. So we'll react to Brian Scalabrine's comments or Scal. Don't call him Brian Scalabrine up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
I had a little thing with Beyonce, which was great.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Controversy. After that Scal interview, that's what's trending at WEEI and WEEI.com. This trending report is brought to you by our friends at the 99 Restaurants. Always the real deal. See, I even did that for myself. Well, we're talking basketball, but of course, spring is in the air, and spring, if not summer-like conditions, are to be found in beautiful Fort Myers, Florida, where your 2025 edition of the Boston Red Sox have reported for spring training action. Just 10 days away from your first pretend baseball game that will sound so wonderful here on Boston Sports Original 93.7 FM WEEI, and of course 850 AM WEEI AM as well. Pitchers and catchers have reported, and let's hear from Red Sox manager Alex Cora on one of the newly acquired lefty arms that the team has gotten a hold of. That would be Aroldis Chapman.
We got guys that have stuff, and you know, Witt remind me that he closed the wild card game in 21. So we got guys. We have options, which is a good thing.
Oh, they've got guys, and they've got options as well, including Walker Buehler, who showed up yesterday looking just fine, and, of course, Garrett Crochet, who spoke to the media for the first time today as well. The assembled Boston media in Fort Myers says he doesn't mind being called the filthy pig, and he can see him coming, see himself, rather, come to Boston and hopefully staying here for a long time. For more on last year's edition of the Red Sox, don't miss The Clubhouse, the new Netflix documentary that premieres in April. All 8 episodes, a new teaser is out on social media for Netflix today. You just heard from Scal, and if you missed that interview, you can go back and use the Odyssey app right after this fabulous trending report, or subscribe to the WEI Afternoons podcast. It's Spurs versus Celtics tonight at 7 p.m. from the Garden, and then it's time for the All-Star break for your Boston Celtics, who also happen to have a documentary celebrating last season coming out. Of course, that one ended in Banner 18. That premieres the first week of March on Max. And in the wide world of football, can you believe it? Yes, Joe Castiglione, I can. Matt Patricia, the former OC and DC of the New England Patriots and a famous friend of Belichick, according to ESPN's Pete Thamel, is scheduled to become the new defensive coordinator for the Ohio State University. Trending once again is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Treat your Valentine at the 99 Restaurants February 14th through the 16th and enjoy delicious menu specials like the lobster-topped haddock. You gotta love the nines. This is your old pal, the Nick Fitzy Stevens, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More awesome sports talk to be found on the other side here on WEEI Afternoons.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Okay, so you throw ideas out there. You're just guys talking. Would you trade Jason Tatum for Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah, you have to.
Right? Yeah! Let's go, Scal!
I mean, he's like, isn't he like 20 years old and 7'4"?
Yes!
Like, yeah, I mean, I would want to do it, but luckily we don't have that problem. But I think, isn't he the... I mean, he's the future of the NBA. The guy, like, defends. He does everything. So, is there an actual discussion? Did anybody actually say no?
Ted said no. Ted said no.
I said I'd seriously consider it.
Tatum will be like, yeah, you should probably trade for the other player. You guys are crazy.
Toast it, Al.
Ted said it.
Yeah, I did throw you under the bus really quickly there. But, hey, it's what I do. Good radio. We needed to. He asked the question. We have the answer. I couldn't pretend you didn't say it.
You were right to say it.
And he didn't even hesitate.
Didn't hesitate. There was zero hesitation.
He says Tatum would trade Tatum for Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
It's the future of the NBA. He's 21 years old. He's 7'3". I mean.
But people were saying that about Tatum when he first got in the league, and it took him a long time before he won his first championship, right?
Yeah.
And now he is the face, basically, or so he told us he was going to be, Ted.
Right? There you go. So, but I'm just, you get Wembanyama right now. I mean, it might take 5, 6, 7 years before you see any.
You have the time. He's 21. You have the time.
You remember how it took us a long, there's a lot, hey, split the Jays. I mean, we were getting frustrated around here about the fact that they weren't contending for titles more.
Mm-hmm. And Victor Wembanyama is going to face that. He's already facing that. He's in his second year. And I've already heard people say, he's going to start winning a few more games or whatever. And he just got paired up with De'Aaron Fox. They made the trade. They're sort of building their young core of what they're going to be as a team. And we'll get to see them tonight at the Garden, where Scal has no faith in the Celtics. I don't know if you noticed that. Scal has
reasonably so,
faith.
Andy.
No faith
25 games at the Garden so far. You know what the record is?
Something and something.
They've lost.
Bingo. Host one, ladies and gentlemen.
What is it?
15-10. 15-10. They only win 3 out of every 5 games, Ted. That is not great for a defending champion. That, if anything, if I want to see one thing turn around post-All-Star break, because we're seeing the Tatum turn right now, hopefully the rest of the team gets healthy and Jaylen goes back to doing Jaylen Brown things and not just appearances on late-night shows promoting kicks. If we can see one thing happen in that home stretch before the playoffs, the Celtics return to form back at the Garden and not just being road warriors.
Well, and Scal even backed off because I joked about, you know, hopefully we don't have any game sevens that matter at the Garden. And he's like, wow, that's different playoff series, that whole argument. And it is. I agree with him. It is. But I'd still like to see what you just said, Fitzy. I'd still like to see the trend change a little bit over the second half of the season where you once again thought, I mean, I keep going back to it. We were at the Garden for the home opener. And I thought there was a legitimate chance they were going to maybe shoot for an
72?
Undefeated. No.
82 games.
41 games won at home, lose at home.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. They lost 4 last year. I thought, okay, can you trim that to 3 or 2, or could you check? They got that out of the way immediately. Yeah. They've already got 10 losses. They're just not that good at home. And I know all the theories Scal and others have talked about that the
home
Garden crowd actually injects life into the opposition. They take it as a challenge.
It's like you're like playing at Madison Square Garden.
Feed off of it. Yes.
Similar type thing.
There's something there, and they're the champion and the whole thing, and we're going to knock them off in their house and all of that. And that there's maybe some truth to that, but shouldn't the better team, which is the Celtics, every time they take the court, they're supposed to be the better team, correct?
Yes.
And shouldn't they also fuel off their home crowd? Shouldn't they get a little something out of that, a little buzz, to take advantage of their talents against the opposition?
You would think. You know what? You go up against teams like Dallas. You know, they lost to Houston at home, Atlanta at home.
Everybody.
Recently. And you know what, though? Don't you think there's a common theme? It's like it's the young, try-hard teams that don't know any better, that, to me.
Sure.
It's where they get beat on the rebounds. They're not getting back in transition defense.
Yeah.
The second chance points. all that kind of stuff, where they get destroyed because I think they're not. I don't know. I just think they play these crappier teams and they start chucking up three-pointers. And when the ball's not going in, then they realize, okay, crap, we're in for a long one.
But they're going to do that every. They're going to chuck up threes. They did it the other night. They were 2 of 18. Then they swung back around and got hot, and you know Tatum was a big part of that, obviously. But you know, I do think the opposite of what I said. Should they feed off the home crowd? Absolutely. I think they also grow more complacent because, well, we're at home. We're going to win. Teams always have a better record at home. We're a better team. We're going to win at home. And you act like that. You think that way. You feel that way. And inherently, the other team comes in, as you said, the tryhards. And, oh, we're not just going to Casey Jones this. We're not just going to roll the ball out there and beat whoever comes to our big, bad garden and take care of business.
I also like the excuse that's been, I think we batted around a little bit last week, where you're at home. You know, get the wife on you. You got tickets. You got a lot of people you got to make happy. There's things you got to, you know, so it's almost better to be on the road kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
For some of these guys.
Feels like we're making a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
They should just win more games at home.
They should.
Yeah, they
Seems
probably
simple.
Should.
They,
like,
they
yeah,
should.
Let's just not look. Let's just look no further. They should probably be a better home team because they'll probably have to play a majority of their postseason games
at home.
Garden.
Well, yeah. At least 4 out of every 7, theoretically, right? That's the way it works.
Maybe until the final round. We'll see.
Are you excited about this game tonight? Because I am. And maybe I'm just in an excitable mood. Maybe, you know, it's been a good... Oh, you know what? It probably is. I'm feeling a little bit better health-wise. Maybe that's
it. You do sound better.
Get a little energy. Thank
you. Good for you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Turned a corner here. Although I did go to the doctor... We don't need to get it. Do you guys Google when you have a little something? Like a little... The doctor...
WebMD?
Yeah, and it tells you you're going to die.
WebMD, yeah.
Yeah, don't ever check WebMD because you suffer from a general something.
So your advice, because I haven't yet, your advice is to not check.
No, stay away.
When the doctor calls and says, we ran your blood work and we found...
I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Don't tell me.
But I've already heard it.
Oh, that's...
So you're saying I shouldn't Google it.
Now, what'd you find?
I would Google it.
I got a little... I guess we'll just do this on the air. It's not a HIPAA violation if it's me.
No, it's you are in charge of your own medical
record. Elevated red blood cells. Anybody know what that means?
Elevated red blood cells. Oh, they're a little thick.
She said it could be as simple as dehydration, like you didn't drink enough water, and she wants to check it in a month or something.
Did she want you to donate blood?
No, nope. She didn't say that.
Are you taking?
Excuse me.
Too many. I don't know.
Getting personal here? No.
Dehydration.
Elevated white blood cells obviously usually means that your body's like, hey, I'm dealing with something here that's not supposed to be here. So
I was thinking, like, more red blood cells must be good. We're all red-blooded Americans.
No.
Like, we're strong.
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Fitzy, you keep it to yourself. I see you Googling. You searching.
I'm just currently working on my next trending sports report.
I'm excited about the Celtics game tonight, and if I find out I'm dying, that's going to cut into that. That's not going to be as fun. Watching Wembanyama, thinking about trading Tatum for Wembanyama.
So you're just excited to see Wembanyama.
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
Yeah, no, I was just curious.
And I think they're a good young basketball team coming to the Garden.
Okay.
This is a challenge. If you think they have a problem, if Scal thinks they have a problem at home, the next big thing in the NBA, who has a new running mate in De'Aaron Fox, who has a young core team, that should be a game where a Tatum and the Celtics look like, we're not taking this for granted. Those young Bucks think they're coming for us, even though they're not that old as the Celtics. Those young Bucks, hell, I think Porzingis should have a bee in his bonnet tonight. And I haven't checked the injury report. It's the NBA. I'm always worried about you. You get excited for a game and you find out a guy's a late scratch.
Yeah.
But
I do like seeing big on big.
Yeah. But not just big on big. Two guys that are...
Cyborg versus cyborg.
They're pretty much the only two guys that can match up with each other. They're freakish athletes. They can shoot from 30 feet out. They can take 2 steps and dunk it.
I like Jokic and Porzingis matchup sometimes.
Yeah, but it's a little different build, a little different style. This is a challenge to Porzingis.
I feel like they're going to see this as this is the Friday before vacation weekend. Like the Celtics.
Like that mentality. You already stink at home. You're going to drop another?
Don't carry a loss into the weekend. That would be bad.
I agree, Fitzy. I feel like this is a game where they kind of are like, it's all-star break. And, you know, it's a team that we're better than. You know, we'll just start chucking up threes and see how
they're
going to
chuck up threes.
In the first quarter.
If they go in, they'll have a big lead. If they don't go in, they'll be trailing.
I'm guessing they shoot
pretty simple.
More than 14 or more threes in the first quarter.
Oh, dear Lord. They'd be on pace for almost 60.
That's
right.
Yeah,
they do that all the time.
That's right.
They have 50-plus three games all the time. Remember, they were trying to break the record early in the year, and they couldn't. They could
I'm
going to
bet
them.
That they have the most threes in the first quarter of all the quarters.
Okay.
Four quarters.
Are you also going to bet that we're talking about a good Jason Tatum game?
You know, we might, yeah. I mean,
We were just raving. Even Scal said it. I agreed with Scal, and it was surprising that he acknowledged it. That was, from my memory, the most enjoyable version of Jason Tatum.
Okay. Do you think he'll carry that all of a sudden, that second half of that Miami game from 2 days ago is all of a sudden going to turn him into...
I don't. I absolutely
MVP
do not.
Tatum?
I want to think that because you're right. That's what he is. That guy is the MVP. And I'll tell you, if I saw that guy for an extended period, I might have to rethink my trade for Wembanyama theory. Because that guy would be nightly the best player in the NBA. He'd be racking up MVP trophies, and you would be unbeatable. It's what I said the other day. Celtics are unbeatable if that's Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. If that Jason Tatum shows up to playoff series, if that Jason Tatum is available anytime you have a game seven or you're challenged in the postseason, I'm going to play Scal's side of the street. I like our chances. We will be okay if that Jason Tatum shows up. But I don't know if he's going to. I haven't seen an extended period of that Jason Tatum, and that's where I actually take the step back and put it on Missoula. And I found it interesting that Scal was hesitant, I guess, Fitzy, to go in that direction like, oh, Missoula found the button, the cheat code for Tatum, and that's how it's going to... He just kept saying, well, on that night, it was the cheat code with those, you know, Brown is out and Drew Holiday's out. And on that night in that situation, it worked. That, you know, don't extrapolate that and say, well, Missoula knows how to do it moving forward. Because I want to think Missoula found the cheat code because I think that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, but like it almost sounded like Scal either A, didn't want to say something that could make its way back to Missoula or something that would get thrown at him in like a pre-show
it
interview.
Did.
Like if Drew Carter's like, hey, let's throw it down to Scal who caught up with the coach earlier, and then Missoula gives him nothing. Or maybe he is privy to some information and doesn't want to divulge it. Either way, it sounded like there were two choices for Scal at a fork in the road, and he just decided to turn around and go backwards. Like did not want to give us anything on that. So I guess he's potentially protecting something, whether it's himself or information he's privy to.
Or to his point, which it is interesting, with 82 games, you got to pick and choose when you kind of, you're frustrated, you're upset, you want to make a point to your best player. You got to really be, I don't know, you have to really think before you go there with that player. Like what did you do the same thing with him the game before? Or has it been a bad week with that player? Maybe you don't want to kind of inject hard coaching at that point to that guy because he might just tune you out. So you got to really pick and choose when you go there with 82 games and all the different situations. I love that Scal brought that up, and I think it's a good point. And maybe Scal's just saying, that was just the point in which he felt like he needed to do it, and he did it, and he responded, and it's not that big of a deal.
And it also isn't a trend yet. It was a one-off situation where a certain bad end to a quarter to a certain good start to a quarter against a certain opponent, as Scal kind of painted, you need at least two dots to make a line, to draw a line, to make a connection between two things. But I'm going to choose to be optimistic. I think both of those guys in their relationship may have turned a little bit of a corner, even if you have to be careful when you push the buttons. But you don't always have to push it if you know where the button is, right? If Missoula kind of knows now how to do it, I'm not saying do it tonight against the Spurs and then do it against, the first game out of the break.
Just give the threat of pushing the button. I'm going to push it.
You can push it in June if you need to push it.
Right.
To get us past the Cavs or to get us past the Lakers or wherever you are at that point in the process of defending your title. So
that's the nitrous button. You don't hit it when you're just going to go down the street.
Right.
Like, oh, the family, we're going to the nines. Hey, kids, let's go 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, that would be a waste.
But if it's like, oh no, the movie starts in 7 minutes and a 15-minute drive.
Boom.
Now we're gonna hit the
nitrous. The nitrous. And we're rolling, baby. WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we are going to touch on that linebacker that played for the Patriots.
How about that?
That had a weird career and would not have been my first choice to predict will work for Bill Belichick on his staff at UNC, but things have a way of working out. Ted Johnson's going to explain to us his thoughts on a former Patriots linebacker joining Bill Belichick's staff. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
apparently Stiz is in an Eminem mood here on WEEI Afternoons.
Is it a day that ends in Y?
Hey, I'm fine with it. As long as you guys don't do the lame dad jokes that you had earlier.
Ted, how do you feel about Eminem?
I'm okay with Eminem. I kind of like Eminem.
Okay.
Yeah. It should be in your heyday, your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it is.
Probably
it is.
You call him by his first, Marshall Mathers?
I don't. So I have not called him that.
Have you ever had a moment with him like you had with Beyonce?
No, I have not. I have not.
Kind of cross paths in the NFL.
Who's the equal to Eminem, would you guys say?
Oh boy, this is Stiz's word.
Stiz, hip hop or what?
I would say Eminem's the best rapper of all time.
And who would be close second to his then?
Close
or just second.
Who
would you debate that might be better than Eminem?
Some will say Biggie.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to actual rhyming, I would say Eminem rhymes better than probably anyone on the planet. But Obviously Tupac, Biggie, Jay-Z for their impact, legacy, also, you know, Mount Rushmore.
How's Eminem doing? I mean, is he doing all right? I mean, I don't see him anymore.
That's his new single.
That's
Houdini.
That sounds like Abracadabra.
Well, he kind of
sampled that. It's a sample, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Good ear.
That's my 12-year-old's favorite song right there.
That's all music is all. We just kind of retread, kind of.
Well, yeah.
Constitute
welcome
songs.
To the Matrix, Ted.
That's what it
Everything's
is.
Things already happened.
Oh, yeah.
It's also kind of how sports works. And this guy we're about to talk about had
great
multiple tours through New England.
Perfect
king.
Yeah. So the headline, Boston.com and elsewhere, former Patriots linebacker to join Bill Belichick's UNC coaching staff as a defensive assistant. So if you read that, would there be like a name that popped into your head that you're like,
Gerard Mayo.
Donta Hightower.
Gerard Mayo.
not Gerard.
I don't think that's
Roman Pfeiffer.
Roman Pfeiffer's a
great name.
Dante Hightower would actually be a good one. That I don't think
he would.
Just because he worked for Mayo, I can't imagine there's like, you know, 2 degrees of stabbing in the back separation or something there. Because, I think Bill would take
it. If Rob feels about Matt Patricia, maybe that way. Maybe feels the same way about Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
maybe Rob Ninkovich, maybe.
Rob Ninkovich. Okay, there's a lot of names.
Yeah.
The name that is actually the one who is on Bill Belichick's staff is not one that I necessarily would have had near the top of the list, and that is Jamie Collins, who you recall, former Patriots second-round pick, developed into a nice player, was sort of an athlete who became a better player.
Is he at a Moso?
Smaller school, but a freakish athlete, could do everything, backflips, all these things, jump over the line and block field goals.
Just couldn't line up in the right spot.
Get that banned from the NFL because he was so damn good at it.
Right. And then, but at the end of the first tenure here, he wanted a contract. He was in that whole group, I think, with, who was it at the time? Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, maybe Malcolm Butler. There was like a group of guys that were all going to need to be paid and come. And he wasn't getting his. He started to be weird. If you remember, there was that one day they filmed him going out to practice with like sandwich bags on his hands and like elastics. And it just got weird. And then Mike Lombardi actually came on this station on the old morning show and was ripping him about how he was freelancing. You got to take him off the field on third down. He can't even play this, that, blah, blah. And they shipped his ass to Cleveland, which was like Siberia at the time.
It was a big story.
Yeah,
there was a game against Buffalo where the Patriots went down early, then ended up throttling the Bills. And I remember the commentary was that Jamie Collins was just all over the place that game.
Well, he was a good player. He was an athlete.
Yeah, he was.
And but I don't mean like awesome as in like, what the hell is Jamie Collins thinking?
You know, just like you could say about Junior Seau, except he'd make plays. Like, there's some linebackers that's what they're allowed to do. That's what they're at their best.
You better be like Junior Seau.
Right, and I get it.
Yeah.
But I also remember they traded Jamie Collins to Cleveland, and one Devin McCourty, who I think qualifies as a leader, who I think qualifies as a smart guy, sort of probably has the temperature of the team, said, I don't know how you get better trading your best defensive player.
Hmm.
Was his response to that trade. I'm not going to say they hated their coach, but there was a little bit of
Tom Jackson. Where's Tom Jackson?
There was a little bit of that mentality.
Similar to what Lawyer did when he left.
Right. What did they just do?
Yeah.
And I know Jamie Collins ended up coming back. He made a Pro Bowl in Cleveland, made a bunch of money, came back, blah, blah, blah. But now Jamie Collins is a defensive assistant at North Carolina, and I never expected it.
Yeah.
And
he told Jamie Collins told TMZ Sports, he goes, blessed for the opportunity. I love that dude being Bill Belichick. He loved me, obviously. Can't get rid of me. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, he did get rid of you at one point.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Belichick obviously had to have a little bit more than a soft spot for Jamie Collins. He had to have a respect for his talents and some sort of affection because Jamie Collins came back. He played for the Pats four times.
Yeah, no, it kept
four really? Times.
Oh, yeah, he kept coming back. So I will say this. Wow. Belichick, your personal experiences aside, Ted, just observing from afar, Belichick has a value on everyone, a financial value.
Yes, he does.
And so Deion Branch, love you, mean it. Oh, wait, you want to be paid how much? Hey, Seattle, you want Deion Branch? Yep. Deion Branch traded.
Yep.
Jamie Collins, you're a good player. You're versatile. I can have you. Wait, you want how much? Mm-hmm. Cleveland, you want Jamie Collins? Then Jamie Collins plays out his career in Cleveland, and you're like, oh, you're on the backside? I'll take you back. It's not personal. It's just business. If you want to come here and play for the new contract, happy to have you. Deion Branch, you want to come back? Come on down. We need you. You'll help us beat the Ravens and these other teams. So some of these things where we look at it as very personal, there's a personal level to it. I do think the cold-hearted leader that Bill Belichick was, it wasn't personal. I didn't want Jamie Collins at $50 million.
I disagree.
He wanted Jamie Collins at $5 million.
Well, hold on, Ted, real quick. I know you've got a different feeling.
That is.
I think
every contract was personal with him.
So it was personal when he kicked Deion Branch to Seattle.
Or how about trading Richard Seymour in the middle of the night
personal,
for a first round pick?
Personal. Really? You don't think all of this contract? If you try to negotiate a contract with him, and you ask for more money than what he gives you offers you,
you're
then
gone.
He takes it personal. You are dead to him. You do not ask for
So why does he bring those guys back?
Because...
You're not dead to him if he wants to bring you back
years. You're dead to him as far as at that point you're dead to him.
And then the other team pays you all the money.
Deadness, yeah.
And then he brings you back, limping back, because you have no other, where else to go at a reduced rate. And then he welcomes you back with open arms.
Right. So it's not as personal as it is business.
Oh, no. At the time, it's personal.
Feel personal.
He might change his personal feelings over time, and he brings the player back. But at that moment in time, it feels very personal. I think it is personal.
I knew Stiz would have something to say because he is the Belichick defender.
No, I just wanted to ask, and I'm sure you guys will remember, didn't Edelman tell a funny story about he went into Bill and was asking for more money, and Bill was like, what are you going to do with $20 million? You don't need that.
Did he say that? I would love
trucks?
To know.
I'll find the audio,
What do you think it was personal with Adam Vinatieri? Did it sound personal
to
Adam Vinatieri?
I don't.
To Vinatieri,
he was offended. It was personal. No, yeah, I think the player side can take it personal. I probably would too because I'm sensitive.
Let's just say the Indianapolis Colts are willing to give Adam $200,000 more than what the Patriots are,
mm-hmm.
and Adam comes back to the Patriots and says, "Hey, Bill, they're offering me a couple hundred thousand dollars more. Will you up it?" And he says, "No. I won't." And then Adam goes and plays for the Colts for 12 years and has a Hall of Fame career and retires as a Colt.
This was a hypothetical, right?
It's a total hypothetical.
That merits a classic, schmuck call.
You don't think that's
exactly
personal?
Fitzy. I don't think it's personal. I think he draws a line in the finances and says, Adam is this age. His kickoffs lost this many yards over the last couple of years outdoors.
You know why it's personal? Because he sets the market himself. Everything is in his brain is how the market is in his brain.
That's arrogance, Ted. Then that's arrogance.
Right. Okay.
It feels very personal to the player.
I also think it's bullying,
sure.
On a sense. He feels like he has the biggest pile of chips at the table, and he thinks Adam Vinatieri wants to be a Patriot. He thinks Tom Brady wants to be a Patriot. I can pay Tom Brady $20 million. I don't have to go to $25 or $30 million a year. And I think he tries to play that game of chicken, feeling like he has the upper hand in the negotiation. And a lot of times I think it probably works. Sometimes it doesn't. I think some guys that are good enough, those are the guys that can take advantage, the guys that are good enough. Screw you. I don't need you. I know there's more money out there. I know there's teams that'll take me tomorrow and give me more money. So I don't actually think it's personal. Mm. I think it's very cold-hearted business bullying and negotiation and leverage plays. And I think now some of them may have bitten him in the butt. Certainly the Tom Brady one didn't work out great for him.
No, it didn't.
But I think Jamie Collins is an example. He brought him back as a player at a certain cost later in his career multiple times. And now he brings him to his coaching staff.
I'll give you the best one. Of all the ones, you should probably rename the section of Route 1 where you get off 495 south and make your way up north on Route 1 back to the stadium. They should rename that the Patrick Chung Memorial Route 1 segment because Chung was like, hey, I'd like to get paid. Nope. Okay, I'm going to Philadelphia. Sucks for a year. Comes back. Hey, coach, guess who's back? And then Patrick Chung all of a sudden gets better. Mm-hmm. And play and, you know, wins three Super Bowls.
Yeah. No, and there's examples of that. I think it's more economics than it is personal most of the time. I really do. I'm not saying never personal.
I'll say this. I would say it got more personal, I think, as the years went on.
Yeah, and I think Fitzy, you know, personal and an arrogance, there was a certain, I think, dictatorial leadership style that you should take what I'm offering. I'm being very, very nice.
It's funny. He doesn't tell you when you negotiate with him, if you don't accept my first offer, I'm going to ship you to Siberia.
Right.
It would help if he just got that out of the way in the early in the negotiation.
It's unspoken.
You know what, lawyer? You know what? If you don't accept my offer, I'm going to cut you the week before the season starts. That might, it might help get the player signed if you know what's coming on the other end.
Well, maybe other players figure out when they see that one guy get shipped to Siberia, and maybe that he doesn't have to say it, future generations.
That was probably what he was thinking, and he was right in thinking that.
WEEI Afternoons, we led the day off talking Red Sox. I'm excited about spring training. Fitzy's excited about spring training. Fitzy's excited about the youth movement and Garrett Crochet. We're going to find out if Ted Johnson is excited about the baseball season. We're going to talk a little bit more Red Sox. I'll remind you what the public is saying on my Twitter poll of the day. So revisit Red Sox spring training and all that it is as we get excited for the baseball season. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.